Good morning, good morning, leaders of faith listeners. This is Pastor Michael Bailey, and welcome to your early morning cup of bread. Now, we know that man cannot live by bread alone, but this segment is meant to inspire, encourage, motivate, and wake you up to what Christ is calling you to do. Welcome. Hey, how's everybody doing? Today, I want to talk about why you should become a believer. That's right, why become a believer? And the foundation scripture is found over in John 1, 1 through 5. That's John 1, 1 through 5. And it reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Amen. Heavenly Father, I come before you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And I just thank you for all that you are. I thank you for all that you do. Father God, I ask that you bless the people of God that's tuned in, listening to the sound of my voice. Ask that you cover them with the blood of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, I ask that you comfort them in this time of chaos, that you wrap them in your loving arms, and that you water and grow the seed sown into their hearts. I ask that you think through my mind, speak through my lips, and that this message is not hindered or unchecked by any outside force. I ask all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Let's build this case on why you should become a believer. Why become a believer? Did you know that God loves you so much? That's right. I said God loves you so much. In the Bible, John 3:16. Let's look at that. The Word of God says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen. So God already loved you before the foundations of the world. And this everlasting life is after the world passes away. There is going to come an end time to the earth. But God loves the world so much, he loved you before the foundations of the world, before the earth was constructed, that he wants you to live again in eternity. Say amen. Now, a great example of this is how an earthly father loves his seed. This is how our heavenly father feels about his children before we were even conceived in the natural. Let's build this case of why become a believer. And so this is why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins so that we can live again. Now, let me go back to the first scripture that I read. The foundation scripture that I read was John 1, 1 through 5. Now, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Now, the Word is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to the earth in the flesh. He was the Word that dwelt among us. Now, pay close attention. John says, "All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." This tells us that Jesus created you and me before the foundations of the world. So this tells us that we were already in existence before we were conceived in our mother's womb. In Jeremiah 1:5, the Lord tells Jeremiah, "I knew you before you were in your mother's womb." Now, how does the Lord know Jeremiah before he was in his mother's womb? That goes back to John 1, 1 through 5. In the beginning, everything was made by the Lord, Jesus Christ, who's the Word. The Word of God further states, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." Amen. We was already here, y'all. This is why, if you're not a believer, you must become a believer. Some of y'all not convinced yet, but God loves you. You already his son. You already his daughter before the foundations of the world. I'm going to keep on stressing that. Get saved. Become a believer. You were already a child of God in spirit form. Yes, you were with your heavenly Abba Father before the foundations of the world. Who's your daddy? God is. This is the reason why we say, "Abba Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." To give us this day our daily bread, to forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. He's our heavenly Father. Let's keep on building a case on why you should become a believer. Why become a believer? Let's go to Genesis 1, 1 through 3. And it reads, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, this scripture is very significant because it lets us know two things. First, it lets us know that the earth was here before. How do we know that? Because it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And then the Bible lets us know that Jesus, when he was in the earth, he told the disciples, I beheld Satan fall like lightning. Where did Satan fall to? He fell to the earth. So the earth was without form and was void. The second thing that this scripture tells us, Genesis 1:1-3, is that we were already created in spirit form before the Lord breathed the breath of life into Adam. I'm building a case because we're his children. Buried first. Okay, let's go to Genesis 2:7. And it reads, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. All right, let's go to Genesis 1:26. And it reads, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And let's go further. Verse 28. Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Amen. So this points back to Genesis 1:1-3, to the dust. God created man in his image and created him out of the dust. Remember I said that Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall like lightning. We are created out of those dust particles, and Satan is upset. This is the reason why Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's upset at humanity. He's wondering, like, how can they bruise my head with the blood of Jesus Christ? And they were just dust. That's because God breathed the breath of life into Adam. But let us keep on going. Let me stay on track. Why become a believer? So God forms the world. Everything is in it. And then he places man inside the Garden of Eden. Let's go to Genesis 2:8. And it reads, and the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Verse 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, good for eating. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Let's go to Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Verse 16. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Verse 17 is key. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So this is what this is all about. God told Adam to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But he did. Somebody say, but he did. But he did. Yep, but he did. And this is the reason why we are here today. Let's go over to Genesis 3. Go over to Genesis 3 on building this case. Why become a believer? Why become a believer? Genesis 3:1. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, this is Eve he's talking to, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. So she knew not to eat of it. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He's trying to trick her. Verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. Her husband was with her. Adam was with her. He wasn't far off in another country. He wasn't working. He was right there looking. And he did eat, because he saw that she didn't drop dead, so he ate too. The man was with his wife watching this transaction go on. And because Adam ate, He no longer had the vision of God, but lost revelation. He gave everything over to Satan. And this is why you need to become a believer, my friend, because that's the fall of man. And Jesus, the second Adam, had to come because God still loves us. So once Adam partook of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, this was the beginning of our sorrows. But God had a plan. He sent Jesus to die for our sins. That's why it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whomsoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." The world is perishing, my friends. The world is perishing because of the curse. And the curse happened when Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's when the curse began. So now we have the journeying of men going throughout the earth, trying to get it right. But we can't get it right without a king. Now, in the Bible, it talks about the days of Noah. Now, in Noah's day, there was a flood. Now, the flood happened because men were evil, very evil in that day. God couldn't find a righteous man. And so God floods the earth to kill off not only humankind, but the Nephilim. Now, these are the angels that slept with the women. They left their post. And so how do you get at a demon? You have to use water. You flood them out because demons look for a dry place. They're looking for a dry place. So hence you have the flood. But through Noah, God's seed was still established in the earth. So God tells Noah, be fruitful and multiply. So through Noah, all the nations were created, all the way to the seed of Abraham. Many nations came out of Abraham. So men journeyed and journeyed and journeyed throughout the world, throughout ages. Men built cities, men built kingdoms, but the kingdom of God covers all. The kingdom of God is outside of the earth. It's outside of the universe. The kingdom of God is much bigger than what our minds can handle. It's always been that way. Let's look at Psalms 24, 1 through 2. And it says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. What's key about this scripture is God is saying that the earth, the one that he created in the beginning, is the Lord's. He's the owner. He has ownership in the fullness thereof, the mountains, the seas, us as people, the gold, the silver, the money in the earth, everything is his. The world. The world is not the earth. There's a difference. The world is a system. The United States of America, that's a system. If we go to a different country, say Russia, that's a system as well. They have a system of government. It's called the world. And the people that dwell therein. Some people dwell in the country. Some people dwell inside the cities. But God owns it all. So if we're looking at the world has different systems, different nations, different orders. And remember that the world, because of Adam, is under a curse. That goes back to why Jesus died. For God so loved the world. The world is under a curse, and Jesus died to bring us out of the world into the kingdom of God, because we're already his children. We were his children before the foundation of the world in spirit form. Are y'all getting this? Say amen. Let's go further on why we should not love the world. Let's look at 1 John 2:15 through 17. And it reads, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Can't love the world, nor the things that are in the world. Because once again, this world is going to end, is going to perish away. So we have to be saved by Jesus Christ so we can live in eternity with him. Let's keep on reading. "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away." It's going to leave, y'all. "And the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Amen. So people, what are we trying to hold on to? What are you trying to hold on to? Ask yourself that. Why are you holding on to worldly things that you can't take to the grave? We can't take it anything to the grave. We must hold on to God's unchanging hand. We must believe in Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and hold on to the faith that he did die for our sins. We have to prepare for the second coming. We have to prepare for our groom as believers. People, we got to get saved. Get saved now. We must be saved. You know, there is no time to be friends with the world. As believers, we can't be friends with the world, because if we're friends with the world, how will we recover? We have to get serious about this thing. We have to shock them into the kingdom of God. Now, I know the Holy Spirit draws them, but we have to do our part. Shock them into the kingdom of God. Yes, we can preach fire and brimstone. There is a hell. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell, where the worm won't die and the fire won't quench. Don't nobody want to do that. God loves us so much that he even says it in 2 Peter 3:9. Let's look at it. 2 Peter 3:9. And it reads, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness." Nah, God ain't slack. "But is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." See that? We all have to repent. He's waiting for us. That's love. Waiting for us to repent. That is love, y'all. Say amen to that. So why become a believer? Because the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in that which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burnt up. We can't take nothing with us, y'all. We must get saved. James 4:4-5 tells us, "Ye adulterers, adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, "The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy"? Folks, we can't mingle with the world, mixing faith with the lust, and expect to recover all. Now, I know I'm supposed to be talking about why become a believer, but for the believers that believe, we got to shake up the unbelievers to become believers that believe. You know what? The believer who believes is an ambassador of the kingdom of God. Yes, we are ambassadors of the kingdom of God from another world. We must execute the perfect law of liberty to the lost. And where's the perfect law found? Right in the book. It's the word of God. Romans 10:9. "If we confess with our mouth and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved." Now, for the unbelievers, that is such a simple prayer that you can say to get you right for eternity, so you won't have to burn in eternity. That's not even a whole book. I'm just saying, get saved. Why become a believer? The perfect law. Psalms 9:7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." The word "preach," it confines the wise with the foolish things of the world. Yes, preaching is foolish, but preaching contains the law, the Lord's perfect law, which is love. Converting the soul is the testimony of the Lord. Look, after you become a believer, tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. Tell them that God loves them, and that Jesus died for us all. Folks, now is the time. Believing in Jesus is vital. Don't die without him. When the unbeliever dies, they go straight to hell and are tormented until the end of earthly time, where their worm won't die and the fire won't be quenched. So why become a believer? There will be no parties in hell. Isaiah 66:24 says, "And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of men that have transgressed against me. For their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh." Then there will be judgment. Revelation 20:13 says, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works." Folks, die in Christ. Die in Christ. Then hell is cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20:14 says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. Folks, don't die twice. Only die once, and die in the Lord so you can be with the Lord. Get saved. This is a wake-up call. Don't die in sin. Revelation 20:15 says, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Folks, where is your name written? Get saved, get saved, get saved. Why become a believer? You want your name found in the Lamb's Book of Life so you can live again in eternity with our Savior, Jesus Christ, the Amen. the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Why become a believer? I hope this message helps you. I hope this message blesses you. Be blessed. Be blessed. Amen. Hey, this is Pastor Michael Bailey. Thanks for listening to the Leaders of Faith Show, Morning Cup of Bread. Now, if the Leaders of Faith Show is helping you out, please be sure to share with your friends on social media. As well, if God has put in your heart to help our ministry grow, go to our website, TrinityStoneChristianFellowship.org, and sow a seed in faith. Once again, thank you for listening to the Leaders of Faith Show, Morning Cup of Bread. Be blessed. Hey. If you desire to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, repeat this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive my sins and save me from eternal separation from God. By faith, I accept your work and death on the cross as sufficient payment for my sins. I ask that you come into my life and make me whole again. Thank you for providing the way for me to know you and to have a relationship with my Heavenly Father. Through faith in you, I have eternal life. Thank you also for hearing my prayers and loving me unconditionally. Please give me the strength, wisdom, and determination to walk in the center of your will. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If you just said that prayer with me, congratulations on being born again and welcome into the kingdom of God. If you don't have a church home, be sure to get into a Bible-believing church. Once again, congratulations for being born again. Continue to read His word, get guidance, and be blessed. Hey, get inspired, motivated, and empowered through the Word of God. Tune into the Leaders of Faith Show every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with your host, Pastor Michael Bailey. Go to our website, TrinityStoneChristianFellowship.org, and download the Leaders of Faith Show. Thanks for listening. Hey, if you need any type of special prayer, be sure to contact us by email, prayer@TrinityStoneChristianFellowship.org. That's prayer@TrinityStoneChristianFellowship.org. Hey, tune in to the On Demand Inspired by Faith broadcast. It is a new wave of faith-based radio. Listen and get inspired as we are building your faith one show at a time. Tune in at inspiredbyfaithbroadcast.net. That's inspiredbyfaithbroadcast.net.